Hey there, Sports History fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Most fans of football have attended a game at one time or another at any level, and one of the things you do is you buy a ticket to get in. You have that ticket stub in your pocket, then you buy a program to see who's playing in a game. Well, do you save those? Well, our guest today, he saves them and has a collection and has a talk all about it in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we in the pig pen today, and we are here to talk about the hobbies and games and toys and collections that are associated with the game of football. And we have a very interesting topic today. We have Ray Durbin. You remember him. We had him back on Memorial Day talking about the salutes of the great football players that had military service, and their military service, unfortunately, they passed in their service. And we honored them on that day, Memorial Day, as we should. And Ray today is going to talk about a collection with football, and we'll bring him in right now. Ray Durbin, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Well, I'm glad to be back here.
Ray, you know, you have a very interesting story that you were sharing with me before we came on and record here. And you were telling me a little bit how you got your passion for Row One, which we'll talk about in a little bit, what you folks do there. But maybe your childhood memory of a collection you had, how it got you sort of into the sports memorabilia.
When I was a kid, a common activity was going out and playing a little baseball during the summer, and you'd gather up a bunch of kids to play. And then after we had our little sandlot game, we would then swap baseball cards. And back in the mid-50s, I remember, you know, having Hank Aaron cards, Mickey Mantle cards, Stan Musial, all the, you know, stars at that particular point in time. And also we'd have some, you know, players that are probably not too noted. One that sticks in my mind, because we always used to laugh about it, on the back of a baseball card that have noteworthy achievements of that particular player. And there's a guy, I'm trying to think of his name. It was something like Scooter Malkmus or some name like that. His nickname was Scooter. And about all they could say about this guy was one day he stole a base or something. It was some really mundane achievement they could put down for Scooter. But anyway, we would, you know, try to swap the cards, and like maybe 250 Scooter cards would be worth maybe one Wally Moon card. But anyway, that was our common activity. And back then we would keep all the baseball cards in little cigar boxes. So it wasn't intended that this is something you're going to keep forever, or that we couldn't visualize, you know, when you're 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, you don't visualize something like that having tremendous value the way it would now. And I mean, I know for a fact we had Mickey Mantle cards, and now I think a Mickey Mantle card, the rookie card or early card, you know, selling up in millions of dollars. We would be happy to trade a Mickey Mantle card, you know, for maybe half a popsicle or something, depending on that.
I had similar experiences when I was younger. I mean, I was a little bit younger than you, a little bit different decade. I can remember we'd take the football cards, baseball cards, and the teams we didn't really like. And in Western Pennsylvania back then, you know, the Raiders were sort of the big enemy of the Steelers. And I can remember, I think it was like a Phil Villapiano football card. I said, I'm going to, you know, make my bike sound really cool. I'm going to put that, you know, connect it to the steering mechanism of my bike so it hits the spokes and sounds like a motorcycle. You know, I'm sure all kids do that. Exactly. Well, Well, the curse of the Raiders got me because I was driving my bike. I was going all over the place with this cart in there and end up taking a couple spokes out and my whole tire collapsed. And I went flying over, you know, ass over tin cups over the handlebars into the street. And I'm like, those doggone Raiders, they got me again, you know? So,
yeah. Well, I know back in the early days of the Raiders, and maybe it's continued, they had kind of a reputation of being somewhat thuggish or outlaws. And they were sort of the bane of Western civilization, I know, for a while. So I didn't know they also sabotaged old kids' bicycles.
Yeah, he got me good. He got me good. So
at any rate, the story with baseball cards and little cigar boxes. I had an older brother. I had a younger brother. We all collected baseball cards, everything. And sometime in the early 60s, my mother thought, you know, enough of this, enough. And we hadn't done anything with them for years. So she wound up discarding a lot of these baseball cards. And like I was saying earlier, if I had been able to come up with some legal theory to sue her, I would have. But, at the time, no one knew these things were going to be, you know, the value they are now. Interesting thing about baseball cards, and you're talking about football cards too. We used to collect football cards. And I don't know what it was like when you were collecting, but in the early mid-50s, on the back of a football card, they would have a diagram of a play.
Oh, okay. You know,
it might be like they'd have the lineups, and they'd have an offensive scheme and defensive scheme, and we'd try to work through those. You know, people line up, hey, you get over there, and you run this way, and that way.
Running the X's and O's in the backyard.
Exactly. They had those on the back of the card. So
wow, that's interesting.
We always used to focus in on the quarterback sneak because that was the easiest concept for us to understand.
Yeah, it's just one player in a straight line, right?
Yeah.
And A gaps.
but anyway, I think a lot of kids go through that collecting baseball cards. And then it was popular for a while. I know in the late 70s, early 80s, a lot of people were collecting baseball cards again. My son probably talked me into spending anywhere up to maybe half my retirement savings on baseball cards. but they still didn't have the value that some of these older cards do. The thing about, you know, baseball cards versus tickets or any kind of sports card versus tickets, those are created with the idea in mind you're going to collect them. You know, a baseball card, a football card, a basketball card. The idea is that's something that's a collectible, and they're intended. Of course, you may get a lousy stick of bubble gum or something with it, but they're actually intended to keep and collect.
So Ray, just a question for you. I know how the bubble gum tasted in the 70s in the baseball cards and football cards. Wasn't very good. Actually, I think maybe the cards tasted better than the gum. How was it back in the late 50s and 60s when you were collecting?
I think it was about the same. A lot of times the bubble gum, of course, back then, the cards just came like in a wax paper wrapper. So a lot of times the bubble gum was pretty stale. And you're right. Sometimes hard telling. They'd come in like little square about the size of the sports card. You'd have a piece of bubble gum like that. And they were generally pretty stale.
So they were consistent on it, the cards makers. The gum was consistent through the years. Okay.
Quality control. But at any rate, you know, some of the difference between collecting tickets and scorecards and programs versus baseball cards, that sort of thing, or football cards, is the cards are intended to be collectible. These other items, when you go back to the 20s and even earlier, 1910s, we have a couple of tickets from the 1800s.
Wow.
Those were not generally intended to be a collectible. They were to get into the game, be admitted to the game. And then people would stuff them in their pocket. They would, you know, get sweaty if it was hot. They would spill Cokes on them, get mustard on them, all that kind of stuff. Very few people actually hung on to those. And if they did, they'd be tucked away in a scrapbook someplace. And so one main difference between collecting tickets and scorecards and things, they weren't intended at the time they were created to be a collectible. They were basically intended to, you get yourself into the game or the sporting event, and you also have information about the players, the teams, and that sort of thing. So I think that's a main difference in terms of collection versus, you know, documentation of a historical event. Now, there are more people now collecting tickets and some of these things, particularly, I know it's sort of counterintuitive, but during the pandemic and that, a lot of people went back and started even making more of a demand for sports cards because there wasn't that much to do. They're more interested in going back and revisiting their old collection of sports cards. And same thing with tickets. Tickets, people started getting interested in collecting tickets and everything because they had a lot of time on their hand and at least there for a while, disposable income. And it was an interesting hobby, something to do. Now, the other thing about tickets, well, it's just like baseball cards or anything. I think a lot of baseball cards or football cards or anything like that are focused on the individual. In other words, yeah, you can always go back in and try to collect New York Yankee personnel, but it's sort of individual player oriented. You collect Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron, Al Kaline for the Tigers, Bill Mazeroski, I think played on the Pirates. It's sort of about oriented toward the individual player. Tickets can be sorted, they can be organized, they can be rearranged in a lot of different ways. For example, someone might want to focus in on their favorite team. For example, if your favorite team is the Pittsburgh Steelers or Pittsburgh Panthers or Penn State or whatever your favorite team is, you can focus in on trying to collect for that team. That's one way of going about doing it. Other people like to collect by conferences and in college. You know, it might be Southeastern Conference, Big Ten. Again, getting back to the team thing, if you're talking about college, or maybe people focus in on University of Michigan Wolverines, might like the Ohio State Buckeyes, Texas Longhorns, whatever. They can have the team. Normally on these tickets, you don't focus on an individual player, except you might say, well, Bobby Lane played in this game for the Lions, or Bobby Lane played in this game for the Steelers, or something like that. But a ticket generally doesn't feature a particular player, if that makes any sense.
Good point.
That the tickets, you can focus in on so many different aspects of it if you're collecting them. To collect them, you might try to get your favorite team, as I understand, is the Oakland Raiders. No, I'm kidding. or wherever they're located now, Los Angeles or wherever. Where the heck are the Raiders now?
Las Vegas.
So, you know, you can focus in on the team. You can focus in on the event if you want, Super Bowl. Same in baseball. If you're looking at tickets, you can focus in on World Series. You can focus in on All-Star games. Focus in on a significant event, like the game where Hank Aaron hit the broke Ruth's record.
Right.
And I remember what that was. It was 515 or whatever his record was. I remember watching that on television. I was out washing my car and I told my wife, call me in when he's up at bat. You know? So that was, I want to say it was in April of 74. So, I mean, when you're looking at tickets or scorecards or anything like that, you can focus in on the event. Particular event, a conference, a team, World Series, Super Bowl. We have a lot of Pro Bowl tickets, some Super Bowl tickets, just a wide variety of items. So the way you can narrow it down if you want to. If you're a collector of tickets or scorecards, something like that, you can narrow it down if you want to. We have, you know, in the nature of Row One, what we do, we approach it from the standpoint of we want tickets that have some historical significance. We also look at the graphics, the artwork on the ticket. As we were talking about before, you know, if it's something like Emmitt One, even that can be interesting because even these ticket stubs that are really kind of plane. They'll have the date on it. They'll have the price. They'll have the location, the teams that are playing off. And so even those can be real, real interesting from a historical standpoint. So it's all in the eye of the beholder, I guess, what kind of graphics they like or what kind of historical information they have on it.
Ray, in the case of collecting ticket stubs or score cards or the smaller items like that, how do folks display their collection? Is it like in a book? Do they put it up on a wall somehow? What's a common way
I don't display the tickets as such because we enlarge them, but I know for a fact a lot of people will have them. They'll put them in an acrylic or hard plastic container. Other ones will get a little easel and put it on there. Like if they have a desk in their office or something, they want to put it up, they'll put it in a case of some type and maybe put it on a little easel. Not too many people are going to hang a little ticket up on a wall, but anything is possible.
If that ticket means a lot and they want to hang it on the wall, they can go to row one and buy a big lithograph of it to hang on the wall, right?
Exactly. Or canvas. Some of our items will blow up. I mean, it's unlimited. It could be an entire wall, but some of the canvases and everything go up to 60 inches wide by whatever. So they're really pretty striking when you enlarge these tickets. And when you look at them, they have some really, really interesting artwork and graphics. We look at it from a lot of different ways, a lot of different perspectives, and we try to have something for everyone. For example, we have a lot of Ohio State, Michigan games because that's a big rivalry. One way you can group these, we're talking about teams, conferences, that sort of stuff. Another way is rivalry games. And so we have a lot of Ohio State, Michigan, as well as just Michigan tickets and Ohio State tickets. We have a lot of Michigan, Ohio State rivalry games. We have, other rivalries, California, Stanford. We have a lot of their tickets where they're playing each other, Oklahoma, Texas. In fact, we acquired one today, which has significance to me. It's the first OU Texas game I went to in person. It was in 1963. So another, getting back to why do people collect these tickets? A big, big part of it is it brings back an emotional experience they've had, a game experience. They can relive it. It brings back memories. And I was looking at this ticket. And I remember that particularly because a whole group of us, we're driving down from Norman to Dallas for that game. And I was telling this story that a roommate had sold Bibles that previous summer. So he had a gift for Gab. I mean, he was really, and as we're leaving town, we're driving out of Norman. We got pulled over by a policeman. So Joe hopped out of the car. He ran up to the policeman. That was before, they taser you were shooting.
Right.
But he went up to the officer, got a car, ran up to his car so the officer didn't have to move or anything. Got his license for him. And then he wound up thinking, I didn't hear it, but he told us what had happened. He wound up thanking the officer for stopping him. He said, I'm a student at OU. I'm going down to the big game with Texas. And I got a little excited. And I'm really, really happy that you stopped me because if you hadn't stopped me right now, I may have been speeding later on. I could have hurt someone, blah, blah, blah. So the cop wound up not giving him a ticket, but instead he also pointed out where the speed traps were between Norman and going down to Dallas. He said, now you want to watch it here. You got to be careful here. So I'm just saying that's an experience I had. And so I was particularly happy to get that 1963 Texas OU ticket.
That acquisition you got in 2021 takes you to a memory back in.
Yeah, exactly.
With your buddies in the car. That's awesome.
And we have another. I have a ticket of the first game I ever went to, Oklahoma game. It was Oklahoma Clemson. I already had that ticket. So you can go through, and anyone who is a college graduate or attended college or family or Maybe it's just someone that's always followed a particular team. Like, obviously, a team like Penn State has a lot of followers that didn't even attend Penn State, you know, fans. So all these tickets, you get these old tickets, and you can either relate to them because you saw the game on TV, or you saw it in person, or you attended college, and maybe the first bad hangover you had was the night before. And so it brings back a lot of memories. It's not nostalgic and all that kind of
but
stuff.
But with you that last also, comment, you're bringing back a lot of my college days now. So
I remember a ticket. I'm not going to bore you going over all these, but some of my favorite tickets, I have a list, and we've already talked about some of them. We have it's not actually the Super Bowl, but the first NFL championship game of the FC, Green Bay and I think Kansas City Chiefs. We have that ticket.
Wow.
Have the first championship game, the U.S. United States Football League game.
Okay.
Have that one. Just a lot of Pro Bowl games. And just different
what's
pro
the,
tickets.
What's the oldest ticket stub that you have in your collection?
We have an 1876. It's actually a program. But it looks sure like a ticket. It's a program with Harvard and Yale. And what's interesting about that particular game, I'm trying to think, Harvard was undefeated. Of course, Yale, it was their second meeting. A couple of things, because I had talked about this before. 1876, Teddy Roosevelt was a freshman at Harvard. So he was attending the game. There's a guy by the name of Walter Camp, who was on Yale. And if I've told you this story before, I really apologize.
We talked about this before because I saw that one and I knew the significance of the game, you know, doing football history. And that was, I purchased that cup that has that on there. I drink out of that, a couple times a week. So I love that one. That's a great one.
And, you know, the story is Walter Camp was a freshman on Yale team. And the captain of the Harvard team, I think I have this story right, saw this guy only weighed 150 pounds. He said, "You're not going to let him play, are you? He looks like a baby. He'll get hurt." I always like that story. Because, you know, he went on to be instrumental in developing American football rules and everything. But some of the other tickets, you asked about the oldest ones. A ticket, that couple of really cool ones. One is an 1893 Penn versus Princeton.
Wow.
University of Pennsylvania versus Princeton. That's a real good ticket. Those are kind of ornate. They're really fancy and elaborate things. Another early ticket that I like a lot, one of my favorites, is an 1896 Cincinnati versus Carlisle Indians.
Oh my goodness.
Carlisle school, you know.
Right.
And some of the language on that ticket is really funny. It's like, you know, see Wild West Indians. They're really playing it up, and the graphics are pretty good on that. Then some of the earlier tickets are like 1907 Princeton, Yale, 1909 Yale, Harvard, 1910 Dartmouth versus Harvard.
Those were big games in that era. Those are gigantic games of the season.
And a lot of times the teams would be undefeated or one would and go on and claim the national championship.
That's your Ohio State, Michigan, and your LSU, Alabama games of this era. That's, you know, Yale, Harvard.
Exactly. And they're ornate. They're really pretty tickets. A ticket I like, I have it here. It's a 1923 Navy Penn State ticket. I like all these old tickets because you look at it and they have football in two different words. So it says, you know, see Navy, Penn State, college, football. They have F-O-T-T and then space B-A-L-L.
Right.
And a lot of the old tickets have it, you know, two separate words. But I like that ticket because it's just an attractive ticket and they have like a little football shape on it and they show an actual photo of some action, you know, from 1922 or thereabouts.
Now, Ray, before we go any further on your description, maybe the listeners can see the photos of these tickets because you have them in your artwork on row one. Maybe you could tell us where to look, so maybe they could go to there while they're listening to this.
And yeah, that would be great. In fact, I have about two tablets and a cell phone here too. They want to just look up, type in row one brand, all one word, row one brand for
R-O-W-O-N-E brand. Okay.
.com. And they'll be able to pull that website up. And then as you scroll down, you'll come to a place where it says go to the gallery. And there's currently about 6,100 items on there of images. They're not all tickets. A large number are tickets, but there's also scorecards and remixed artwork, things like that. But that's a good way to do it. And also, if you have a favorite team like Notre Dame or Penn State or Alabama or whatever, up at the top of that, when you go to a pictorum, you should get on the pictorum gallery. When you go to that, there's a search box up at the top, and you just type in your favorite team. It should pull up. Depending on the team, it might pull up. I just checked earlier, baseball pulled up about 12 pages of different artwork on that. You go to a team like Michigan or Notre Dame, you'll pull up a lot of artwork, old tickets. And let
me just give the listeners a real quick tip. If you happen to be on the Pigskin Dispatch site, we have an ad on the front page for row one. You can click on that. It takes you to the Sports History Network link. Also, if you're on sportshistorynetwork.com, click on the row one link. It'll take you through there. And when in the pictorum gallery that Ray is talking about, he's offered a special code for Sports History Network listeners, SHN15, get a 15% discount in the pictorum gallery. So take note of that and take advantage of that.
I'm sorry, Ray, go ahead. No, that's a great point. That's a really good point. So, there's just a lot of football tickets. So we're talking about rivalries, Army, Navy. And those are generally colorful.
That's a big
really
one.
Really interesting. We talked about Ohio State, Michigan, Southern, California, Stanford, Alabama, Auburn, Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska. Just any college rivalry you can think of, plug it in, see what you come up with. And you may just have to go to one team or the other. Like if you go to Army, you're going to pick up all the Army-Navy tickets. You can try it now and you can try Army Navy too. But just fantastic artwork, in my opinion. And when you blow this stuff up, it makes really a unique piece of art. It's a historical significance, interesting conversation piece.
And it's so neat what you do on row one. You show different views of the ticket, but one of the images that you can click on of that ticket is to show it what it looks like hanging on your wall. And that's really cool. It really brings it to life. And before you buy it, it shows you, hey, that would look great in my living room or my den or something. So that's a great feature that you have too. So make sure folks out there take advantage of that too.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And pictorum too. I'm glad you brought that up. The other thing about that, you can get these in various mediums. Like you can get them printed on wood, which looks good. Metal signs, if you're have a game room or something and your crowd control is not quite up to par, you might want to get a metal sign. No, I'm kidding. you don't have the canvas destroyed or anything, but there's all sorts of good mediums there: acrylic, wood, canvas, paper prints. It can be frame, glass, all that kind of stuff. The other thing, I would just in by saying we have a lot of different sports, baseball, basketball, football, soccer, boxing, race car, Indy 500 tickets, Kentucky Derby tickets. There's a lot of wide variety of sports, and we're adding things daily. We're getting there, but we have a lot more items to add on the website.
Now you mentioned a little bit earlier that during COVID and during the pandemic, that there seemed to be a lot more people that started collecting again, you know, maybe having that extra time and they're, you know, go scouring through the internet and say, hey, you know, I used to collect baseball cards or ticket stubs when I was younger. Now, did that make that drive the prices up on for collectors because the supply and demand type of thing, or did it, you know, help the collector?
I can't answer that. I would suspect it would. But I've heard that in terms of the baseball cards, they have come up a little bit. And my understanding is the same with the football tickets and programs and everything. A lot of our acquisitions were done prior to a couple of years ago. So,
okay.
You know, at this point in time, we're in the stage where, hey, if we see something unique that we're interested in, and from a selfish standpoint, you know, we're talking about that 63 Texas Oklahoma ticket had a special emotional appeal to me. So, we're a couple other items. So we're looking at things on a daily basis, but there for a while, I mean, you know, it's just like had a special mail truck delivering for us. No, I'm kidding. we're getting a lot of items in a couple of years ago. So I think the prices have gone up again. I'm in a mode. Row one is in the mode of we're acquiring this. We're not trying to resell them at this point in time. Different people have different approaches. Some people will buy something and then try to turn it, sell it, turn it, whatever you want, language you want to use. We acquire the items from the standpoint of the how we think people will react to it from an emotional standpoint, an artistic standpoint, if it's an interesting historical event. But we're looking at it from the standpoint of the image. How good a work of art will that make? And the other thing we hadn't talked about, we also put these on other products. I mean, they look great on t-shirts, on mugs, shower curtains, towels. I think one of the best items is a beach towel or even a bath towel, because the shape of a towel is almost like a ticket.
Right. Oh, I didn't even think of that.
And curtains and all these just make really, really good designs if you're a sports fan, sports fanatic, or if you like to take showers or a bath, get a bath towel.
Yeah, we hope that our listeners like that. So,
but a lot of good products, a lot of good products out there, and they're interesting. I just like them from an aesthetic and a historical standpoint.
Okay. Now, aside from, I know you told us the feeling about the 63, OU Texas stub that you have. Of all your collection of your program covers and ticket stubs, let's just take that one, that latest acquisition, out of the mix here. What is your personal favorite, and maybe tell us why?
Well, it's tough.
It's like telling you which was your favorite child, right?
Exactly. I guess just from I fluctuate. Here's another thing. I look at these, and if I haven't looked at a particular ticket in a while, I think, wow, I really like that. You go to the head of the class. But I guess right now, while you're asking me right now, I think the tickets I really like is that 1896 Cincinnati Carlisle Indian ticket, just because it's so unique. The other ticket, from a personal selfish standpoint, have a good 1969 University of Michigan, Missouri ticket. And it's real pretty graphics. It shows the stadium, and I think pennants with, Michigan, Missouri on it. And Michigan used that same theme for their home games throughout the whole year. Because they also have a ticket like that, 69 Ohio State, Michigan ticket. But I like the Missouri, Michigan took it because a good friend of mine and his date and my wife and I went to that game, the Michigan-Missouri game. It was a beautiful day, fall day, real nice weather. And we scrunched up in Ann Arbor's, you know, stadium. So I always remember that game, like it just happened yesterday. Another game, it's not all that aesthetic, but it's one of these tickets that has a lot of value. And it is a unique ticket, is a 1969 Texas OU ticket. That means a lot to me because this same friend of mine that we went to the game, you know, with Chris, my wife, and his date. A few weeks later, he was getting ready to go in the Navy. I was going to be going into the Army the end of October. And we decided on a lark, I think, probably a Wednesday or so. We found out that my older brother had a couple of tickets to the OU Texas game. So we drove down from Detroit to Norman, picked up the tickets, and then headed on back to Dallas. So, and then drove back.
You know, how long of a drive is that? That's got to be quite a...
Let me see. Well, we broke it up. We drove straight through from Detroit to Norman. And at that time, I'm going to guess it's about 21 hours there. And then it's about another 6 hours down.
Yeah,
to,
I'll bet.
So it was a hike, but it was fun. It was well worth it. So those two tickets have a lot of meaning to me. I guess that's about it. In terms of my favorite tickets. I mean, there's a lot, though. Every time you look at it, it's really neat.
Right. Well, Ray, I appreciate you coming on today and sharing your collection and your passion with us. And again, folks, we have the Row One links are in our show notes. You can also find them on sportshistorynetwork.com and on pigskindispatch.com. Make sure you check out Ray's collection on Row One and he's sharing that art with us. And you can hang it on your wall, drink your coffee out of it, dry off when you get out of the shower with it. Many things you can do, put it on your car keys. So make sure you check those out. And Ray, once again, thank you very much for joining us and telling us about this great collection.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus, get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.